ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Brian Hadley's here. I'm Mark Zander. We've got that Twitter poll up right now at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. Who is the better manager right now? David Ross of the Cubs, Tony La Russa of the White Sox, fresh off wins on both sides of town. And the Cubs will face, I'm blanking out, who are they playing today? Brian, who are they playing?
Pirates.
When in doubt, it's always Pittsburgh.
Yeah. The Pirates. And then the White Sox are taking on Kansas City. And we will recap the poll before the end of the show. Now, you can reach Brian on Twitter at BrianHanley534 or me, Xander Rocker, all one word, one R in the middle. So we've got Jim in Aurora that wants to talk about managers and how important they are in Major League Baseball. Hey, Jim, welcome to ESPN 1000.
Yeah, thanks. I agree with Freddie when he's there, but a good manager, I don't think matters that much, or an average manager. The players will win you the games. A bad manager can and will cost you a few games per year. So,
okay, well then, overall, you would say a manager does have some effect.
They will put you. I don't want a bad manager, but
hope Terry
any
Bevington
other manager, the players win you the games. A bad manager can and will cost you games throughout the year.
Well, yeah, because they have choices to make.
A manager wins any games.
You know, it's interesting. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I mean, and this is where it gets very dicey. In that, if a bad manager makes bad decisions, a good manager makes good decisions, which means managers make decisions, which means they affect the game.
Yeah, and I guess it's how you quantify it.
Right.
Can you put a number on it? Probably not necessarily, but is it one or two? And even if it's just one or two, it could come down to that's the difference in your postseason chances or not.
Now, right? I will say, if you have splitting hairs, if you have an average manager and a very good team, well, that manager ends up looking like a great manager, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, look, even Joe Maddon was under the microscope for how he was handling the pitching in
right.
World Series year, right? It's like Joe should have a statue outside of Wrigley Field, but at the time, people are like, is this guy going to cost us the one World Series I might see in my lifetime, right? So it is interesting. And look, I cover Jim Leland, who wasn't the brightest guy I've ever been around. I'll just leave it at that. But I will credit him. Every single day, he worked with Sammy Sosa, whether Sammy was on Flintstone Vitamins at the time or not. But he was in the cage with Sammy Sosa teaching him how to hit. And so he was definitely a hands-on guy. And I've been around managers who, just like to sit in their office with the bottle of booze in the drawer.
And make the lineup card, and that's it.
Yeah. And their best buddy was the bench coach, and they played gin rummy together. I mean, it was totally old school, right? I mean, Lou Piniella, everyone wondered if he was awake half the time in the dugout. Dale Swaim, I mean, you had good – I mean, either side of town, you've had good and bad, right? Ozzie Guillen, Kenny Williams didn't want to hire Ozzie. He wasn't even on the radar until Jerry Reinsdorf said, hey, why don't you interview this guy, which when your boss tells you to interview the guy, you kind of know who he likes, right?
Right. And in Chicago, we like managers that are loud and brash. Ditka, Guillen, we like that. And I think it's because it seems like those types of managers or coaches hold players accountable, which is another factor of how managers may be effective. If there is somebody in the lineup that isn't performing and they want to hold their feet to the fire, they will make an adjustment.
In our other Twitter poll question, and you lead right into it, Mark, which team will win the next championship here in Chicago? And there are only four choices that Blackhawks fans are upset because.
I saw that. And you knew that they would be.
We had to take the Hawks off because Twitter only allows four choices.
Right.
And Stan Bowman told you they're starting a rebuild this year, and they didn't make the playoffs. That's not to say that they couldn't be the team, but it's logically, the president of hockey operations believes they're a ways away. So we just eliminated them because Twitter made us eliminate one. the White Sox are in first place as we sit here today. And don't forget, they play Kansas City 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Connor McKnight on the call. And 5:30 pregame. And you get plenty of White Sox talk with our guy Fred Huebner and Jeff Miller starting at 3:30. So all White Sox all the time this evening right here on ESPN 1000, your home for the Chicago White Sox. But because the Bears seemingly got it right on draft day, because everyone across, if you looked at the grades given across the NFL landscape, everyone who weighed in gave them an A or an A plus. They were, someone put together a list of like anyone who put a grade out there, and they were number one. Of all the grade givers, they were atop the NFL for what they got done, not only with Justin Fields, but then ahead moving up in the and getting the offensive lineman that you needed and going to get another one.
Right,
so,
and that's what they did at the draft, but the pieces have to fall into place and they actually have to perform as a team. And that's the big next crucial step.
And the Bulls also seemingly got it right on draft day. I mean, I was in filling in for Cap that day, and right before we were giving it over to Carmen Yurko, news broke that, you know, they made a deal with Orlando, got Vucevic, and this brand new Bulls front office, the Bulls brass, refreshing that, you know, Garpax is no longer calling the shots, and they made a move no one saw coming, and they seemingly put together a nice core to go around Zach LaVine, who, by the way, was back last night after COVID, and they beat the Celtics. Now, it's still a long shot that it get to that play-in game, and it's really the lowest rung you can get to be a postseason team. But do you believe that the Bulls are getting it right? So do you want to vote for the Bulls at that point? The White Sox, first place, we know the expectations coming in. And the Cubs seemingly getting back on track, but you really don't know if ownership really is trying to win anything. So
where do you stand, Brian? Where do you stand?
I'm going to say it's the Bears, because if Aaron Rodgers is truly going to be out of Green Bay, this division is certainly wide open. I mean, I don't think Jordan Love, as Steve Greenberg said, is just going to walk in and be the next first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, they obviously believe that he's going to keep the baton going and take the baton and run with it. But Justin Fields, to me, if you can get him on the field sooner than later and Rodgers is out the door, I think that the Bears win the division championship at the minimum and maybe can get into the Super Bowl conversation. Beyond that, you know, I think it's easier for the Bulls to at least get through the Eastern Conference than it is for a baseball team to get through 162 with injuries and everything else and actually win a World Series. Well, how about you?
Yeah, you know, the Bears are making it interesting for me. It was an easy choice, White Sox, and I'm still going to choose the White Sox, but the Bears are right there, and that is what they did on draft day. And I think the Bulls are headed in the right direction. They've got the right management. We got rid of all of that stuff from the past, and we're moving forward, but I think that there's going to be a longer development time. So I'm still saying the White Sox, but yes, it's a big grind. We've already lost a couple of big players to injuries.
That's the thing. I mean,
that is a crucial part. That is a crucial part. But we're also seeing just crazy great pitching. We're seeing people that have stepped up that we haven't seen before. So I'm still saying the White Sox.
I can't disagree with that, because I just think, having covered baseball, if you get two or three or four of those, you might be able to overcome one or two of them. But if they keep coming at you, I mean, it's great that they sit here 17 and 13 today and are taking care of business. But over the course of 162, if you're trying to, you know, patchwork the bullpen and or the rotation and or position players, it's awful tough to get through it. And you might win the division. It's a tough division still, right? I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, it's no slouch.
I didn't see Kansas City doing what they're doing. Jesse Rogers, God bless him, said he talked to a lot of baseball executives, and the Royals' name kept coming up as a team that could surprise. And, you know, you're playing the Royals as we speak. So everyone thought Cleveland would be in it. They got no hit yesterday. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, it will be. Lance Lynn is taking the hill today in that game against Kansas City. So when we come back, we're going to hear some audio. Carmen and Yurko talked to Mike Holmgren. Now, Mike Ox actually obviously has a long history with the Packers and was Yurko's coach. And they asked a very poignant question of Coach Holmgren. And we are going to hear that audio when we come back. It's Hanley, it's Xander, ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
It's Hanley and Xander, ESPN 1000. Brian, this past week on Carmen and Yurko, which you could hear here Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till noon. Yurko is celebrating 20 years here at ESPN 1000. So they had Coach Mike Holmgren on to, wish him, good luck. Yeah, best of, luck, congratulations and all that. And of course, they have an association because Yurko played up in Green Bay. And they asked them, about the whole Aaron Rodgers situation, and we have some audio for that.
Well, it's not good, that's for sure. I've been asked that a fair amount in Seattle about this situation, and I, and John, you remember how it was with Brett and the guys. I can't imagine a relationship between the coach or management or whoever's making the decisions and a star quarterback like that getting to this point. I just can't imagine it. I wouldn't allow it. It wouldn't happen. But now it has happened, and I would call him in. We'd sit down and not leave until we kind of had an understanding one way or the other, and either he's going to continue playing or he'd have to – or it's the ball's in his court, because I want him there. I need him there. I love him. Now, what are you going to do? They didn't handle it very well, I don't think. I don't know how you guys looked at it, but they didn't handle it very well.
Yeah, when you were a coach or when you were a general manager in Cleveland, was it incumbent upon you to inform your team members when you were going to draft a player at their position?
No.
Yeah,
no,
you just did. You went about the business of drafting, and whatever you acquired. And guess what, guys? We're adding people to our team, and if they happen to be at your position, so sad, too bad, bye-bye. This whole we've got to give people a heads up, it's perplexing to me. I don't get it.
I know, but I think, when you have you also know your players, And I mean, listen, this is the second time the Packers have gone through this. They went through it with Brett, too, when they drafted Aaron. Ironically enough. And so, but if you have a superstar like that, or the guys I've been privileged enough to coach, like a Joe Montana or those types of guys, in San Francisco, Coach Walsh didn't tell Joe they were bringing Steve Young in. He just did it, John, look, I know you made a lot of money playing. I know that. but it's a different world now. It's a different world. And with a franchise quarterback and a guy as good as Aaron, you probably have to – you don't treat all the players the same. I mean, you have a bright – no one crosses. But, I would call him in. I said, look, we're going to do this, but don't – this is how it's going to affect you. We got to get ready for when you retire – we got to kind of think of the franchise, but nothing's going to happen now. You're the man. You're the guy.
Yeah.
And or somehow. Then if he didn't like that, now all of a sudden you're at the situation you have it. But you're right. We never talked to the players about who we're going to draft. Listen, hey, the same thing. One other thing. The Seahawks are going through that a little bit with Russell Wilson.
That's what I was going to say. Did they do a better job of, putting out the fire this offseason? It seems like they did.
Well, I don't think they did, but I think Russell is a different – I think the two guys are different guys. They're both very talented. But Russell, and Russell's so controlled. If you've ever seen him at a press conference or anything, he's just like Superman in his responses and stuff. And then I think he just had a moment where he got upset and said something, and everyone's going, oh, they were just shocked because he doesn't do that kind of stuff, So, but they – and he hasn't played as long as Aaron. And I mean, but there's some similar things there.
There's some great insight from somebody who spent time coaching a football team and being a general manager, Brian. This is a perplexing situation. Where do you stand on a player having that type of control? I know that that's a big talk in beyond the NFL, most obviously in basketball and even into baseball.
Yeah, you know, look, and I get, I mean, I'm tend to be with Yerk on being old school that way, that just do your job, do the best you can. And if there's competition, you know, it's for a reason and everyone will be better for it. But that said, it's a different world. And as Mike just said, first of all, Aaron Rodgers, the more you hear about people talking who are around him, like he's the king of passive aggressive, right? And he can hold a grudge pretty well. As much as he can throw a football, he can hold a grudge. The NBA has become a different animal where guys
altogether,
recruit, yeah. Yeah, well, guys recruit guys, obviously, and free agents, and all of a sudden you have the big three in Miami winning championships, and it's just now routine to the point where GMs go to agents go to GMs and say, hey, my guy's unhappy, he wants to be moved, and the GM will say, well, go shop him and put the deal together and bring it. You know, the GM's not going to shop him. The agents are out there making deals, and then they get the approval from the GM and they pull the trigger on it. So it truly is a player's league. And with the stuff going on in Houston before Deshaun Watson's, all the allegations of misconduct, you know, off the field that will play out down there. I mean, that's the first time I've seen the NFL where presidents and owners make promises to a star player that you're going to have input on the GM hire or the head coach hire. Doesn't mean you don't want to pick their brain a little bit. I mean, to the point where Deshaun Watson felt like he was betrayed. They told him one thing and did the other. So I'm old school, right? That managers manage, coaches coach, and players play. But the NBA, that ship has sailed. And maybe, as Mike said, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a different class. And Gutekunst, the GM up in Green Bay, said he could have, I mean, he was hemming and hawing and trying to admit that he screwed up last year by not giving Aaron Rodgers a head up. And he found out, just like the rest of us watching the draft night, that they went and got Love. I mean, it's one thing, Mark, to disrespect, I guess is the word, Mike Glennon and you know, draft Mitch Trubisky while Mike Glennon's at Soldier Field.
Two different situations. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's Mike Glennon. Yes. And you overpaid him anyway for a year for $18 million.
Yeah, he's not complaining.
No. The Hall of Famer, though, I mean, he's the guy. And apparently he knows he's the guy to the point where he's either going to make you feel humiliated and eventually come back after you've got enough egg on your face, or he's going to direct his career elsewhere, whether it's to a different football team or to the Jeopardy studios.
You know, I actually think that what's happening in the NBA is going to start happening to a bigger degree in the NFL and kind of move through leagues. It is a different time. I tend to be old school as well, but I see that things are changing, and change is, you know, it's not easy for everybody, but there's nothing wrong with a courtesy, hey, heads up, this is what we're doing. And that's where I think they really dropped the ball. And the ball happens to be a very talented quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. And last time I checked, the GM, Brian, how do you say his name? Gutekunst?
Gutekunst, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think his jerseys are selling.
No.
You know, but Aaron's are. And Green Bay Packer fans are going to remember the GM for screwing this up more than Aaron. I mean, maybe there'll be a certain degree, and there was with Favre and a little bit of blowback. But in the end, your most valuable players are going to command some control and want a bit of courtesy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers on the field, you know, the new young coach decided that the Hall of Fame quarterback shouldn't have the ball in his hands. Let's go for a field goal and then see how this plays out.
Yeah, don't think that didn't play into this as well. There's probably a lot we don't even know. Let's go to the phone lines. Paul in Orland Park wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Hey, Paul, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, guys. Good morning. I think we're kind of missing what is going on with Aaron Rodgers. They came how close to winning the NFC championship and going to the Super Bowl this year? Pretty damn close. And I think Aaron Rodgers is probably more upset that the Packers, with knowing that Aaron Rodgers has a closing window on Super Bowls, the Packers went and drafted Jordan Love, who did them absolutely no good in the season last year, when they could have drafted possibly a real high-profile weapon for Aaron Rodgers to use to maybe get him over that hump of the NFC Championship and get to another Super Bowl. I think they wasted a pick in Aaron Rodgers' Super Bowl window is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's tough. Do you get ready for the future or do you strike now? The obvious answer is strike now, but they must have thought that they had all the pieces in place.
And that comes, and thanks for the call,
Paul.
Years of going defense in drafts, right? So,
yeah.
You know, if, I guess the thinking was Aaron Rodgers had enough offensive talent around him or was going to lift all that talent to a different level because he's Aaron Rodgers, which is a compliment. But year in, year out, they would go defense first and foremost in the draft. And then, as our caller said, get a guy who's not even going to see the field barring injury. You know, that so he's not even going to come into play. And all that probably rubbed Aaron Rodgers the wrong way. And when you hear your talk about it, you know, maybe guys who played with Aaron Rodgers feel like, you know, he's a little bit of a diva. Maybe that's starting to come
on. And you know that that's going to happen. I mean, if you figure you're a player on a team and you've got somebody that's better that's doing something like this, you're going to look at them as a bit of a diva. What is really surprising is Aaron's seen this from both vantage points. He was the benefactor of what happened with Brett Favre when Brett was upset up there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But now he is the guy. And, you know, a few weeks ago on Shot or No Shot when I was filling for Cap, you know, it was Aaron Rodgers coming out, at, you know, leaving Green Bay. And I said no shot before all the stuff actually broke about on the eve of the draft how disgruntled he is. I didn't think he wanted his legacy that's how he was going to be remembered, is the guy who kind of forced his hand and forced his way out of Green Bay, because I thought he really, you know, for the Green Bay Packers fans' sake, wanted to be the guy to finish his career there, no matter whatever irritations he had with the front office. But obviously that's very much a shot, because everything that's being written up north of the border is that there's about a 5% chance that this gets rectified and he plays another game for the Packers.
Yeah, and I've also heard that there's a 75% chance, and this is being blown way out of proportion. So we can only, south of the border, just look up north and just kind of smirk and hope that they just spin themselves out of control, because we've got things moving in the right direction here, and we can use their help with not making Aaron happy.
Well, we'll find out. Yeah. I really like to know how optimistic Bears fans are that, you know, this all plays out.
Absolutely.
And that Justin Fields is the guy. And then how much closer are you to actually winning and earning a division championship rather than backing into a pandemic created playoff spot?
Yep. We will take your calls on that. 312-332-3776. After we get back, we'll talk more about Aaron and Green Bay and about your Bears. What is it going to look like? How pumped are you? And how fast can we get to the promised land? We'll see. 312-332-3776. It's Hanley and Zander, ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Brian Hanley, Mark Zander, up until noon today. White Sox Weekly will be on the air at 3:30. Jeff Miller and Fred Huebner will host that, leading you right up to Sox pregame. Sox with Lance Lynn on the hill will take on Kansas City, Daniel Lynch, right here on ESPN 1000, your home for White Sox baseball. So we're talking about the Bears, Justin Fields, and what the future really looks like. Draft day was very exciting, not only for the draft of Justin on day one, but also the news of what's happening in Green Bay. And if we have Packer fans, what does this really mean to you? 312-332-3776. Do you think it'll blow over? Is this a heavier deal than we even realize? I mean, what's your feeling about that? And Bears fans, what do you think about the possibility of Justin Fields not being developed correctly? Now, I don't want to throw a wet blanket on the proceedings, but we've seen this before. Trubisky was a disappointment. However, was that because of Mitch, or was that because of, you know, Nagy and his staff?
You know, First of all, Justin Fields comes out of a top-tier program and a winning program.
Right. And that's going to help. Yes.
I mean, Mitch came out, you know, what, 13 starts at a basketball school. Couldn't even get on the field early at North Carolina.
Does that just make you even more aggravated that we picked him? Although now we seem to right the ship, and if that's the mistake we had to make to get to this point, then maybe we can live with it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, Mark, because I don't know where you stand on, but the day before the draft, the day of the draft, I was in there with Jay Hood, and I was saying they're going to move up. And I thought initially they would have to move up to top five and really mortgage the future. But then I thought anywhere from 8 to 12, I didn't think that Detroit and the Bears were going to be dance partners on a trade, because why would you in the division?
Sure, right.
But it played out well for them, and they got it done. And a lot of people were calling in saying, oh, I don't want them to succeed. I don't want them getting a quarterback because it just buys them time. And by the way, I want Nagy and Pace out the door. And I'm like, if you're a Bears fan, you better hope that they hit the grand slam, no matter what that looks like or how frustrated you've been, because
well, right.
That, I mean, it's your team. You want them to get it right. Right eventually, and they got seemingly got it right that day.
And Justin Fields, if he turns out to be as advertised, then Pace and Nagy are not going to be, they won't get in the way, and they're not going to be a factor anymore.
Well, Steve Greenberg said even they can't screw Justin Fields up, and he covers college football, and he really is.
Right, right.
Great insight. And you're holding him to that, and we'll see. But, you know, Matt Nagy, did he ever connect with Mitch Trubisky? I mean, he sold Ryan Pace that he was going to be the Trubisky guru and you know, get the most out of Mitch Trubisky, and maybe he did, and maybe he didn't. And I know some people say that Matt Nagy failed Trubisky as much as he failed the Bears. Trubisky failed the Bears. But here comes Matt Nagy, going to be calling plays again, whether that excites you or not or frustrates you as a Bears fan.
We'll see.
Ryan Pace talked about DeFilippo being the best guy to mold and cultivate a quarterback. Okay, so apparently that's gone from Nagy now to the quarterback coach, and Lazor is the offensive coordinator, not calling plays. So we'll see how it all plays out. But you're starting with a guy who's much closer to the finished product than Mitch Trubisky was.
You know, I guess my problem is that I had too much trust when they drafted Trubisky, because sometimes you just want to believe that somebody knows more than you, and what doesn't look good is probably going to be okay. And I think that's how we got sucked in. And I believe Justin is a better player for all the reasons and more. But I just don't want to even consider that it just isn't brought along in the right direction as we move ahead with him, based on what we've seen before.
Look, why would you have faith that Matt Nagy is going to get it right in terms of growing a quarterback? And you say, well, he had a hand in Patrick Mahomes. Okay, how much of a hand? He did have a hand, so he gets some credit for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think most people would argue that Patrick Mahomes is going to reach that level no matter whether Matt Nagy had a hand in it or not, right? Just watching the guy, he's got the it factor. He just, now, the last playoff game won't give you that kind of faith, but there's a reason that he's earned all the platitudes and the big money already in his career, and there's a reason Mitch Trubisky is back up in Buffalo right now.
No doubt. And the fact that I'm hearing that a lot of people think that Fields was the best quarterback in the draft, which I'm just amazed that we were able to do that. And I had no confidence that we were going to be able to trade up. And yes, we traded to raise some future resources, but sometimes you just have to pay. You've got to delay payment on something you need right now. And I didn't have confidence in that happening. I really did not. And I was just very pleasantly surprised.
I don't know how they feel in San Francisco right now. I mean, John Lynch was a benefactor of Ryan Pace being itchy to get Trubisky and giving him all that ransom to move up one single spot so he could get Trubisky. And apparently there are probably three or four GMs in the league who think, but for the grace of God, there go I, that they were going to get Trubisky maybe further down in the draft. But he was their guy, just as he was Ryan Pace's guy. But that said, now here come the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan and Lynch, and they trade up to 3, and they go for Trey Lance from North Dakota State. And he was a guy that was being buzzed about around the Bears. You know, the Bears move up, they might get Lance. I mean, so now they've rolled the dice, whether Lance is on the field this year or not for the 49ers. You know, they have to kind of hold their breath. Did they reach for a guy who, you know, very inexperienced but has all the intangibles and the physical abilities and all the traits, but really how much of a reach is it that they're projecting Trey Lance to be the guy that was worth a third overall pick?
Yeah, there's a lot of gambles. There certainly are. And Justin Fields, he just looks like the piece that we really, really need. And now with what's happening in Green Bay, you know, is Jordan, his name's Jordan Love?
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, it didn't sound right. Jordan Love, he got drafted, and he's been a year ago, and he's been sitting behind Aaron Rodgers waiting for that shot. Is that shot going to come sooner than later? And what does that mean? Right. Can they hit the jackpot three times in a row? Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. And I'm of the thinking, and I know on Twitter people, you know, call, I mean, people like me stupid, and Greg Gabriel weighing in, how dare you think Justin Fields should be out there day one? Well, why not? I know what Andy Dalton is right now. Okay. If Aaron Rodgers is on his way out the door and is by then gone, I mean, and then nothing's going to happen until June 1st at the earliest, because that's when you could trade him anyway, for the cap situation. Why not be aggressive? If Justin Fields is who you think he is, and he's a winner, and he, by the way, he's all business. I mean, he's so, it seems like
he's really buttoned up, which is impressive.
Absolutely. Right. And so I'd much rather see, growing pains and all, Justin Fields out there instead of spoon feeding him and bring him along slowly and only put him out there in case Andy Dalton gets hurt. And I still can't believe that both Dalton and Nick Foles are going to be here when it's all said and done to start next season. I think Nick Foles will be on his way out. Why wouldn't you? I want to see Justin Fields. I want to see different. I want to see the new era start as soon as it can.
And how about just the toughness and resilience of Fields, too? That's something that I think, that's the difference between him and Trubisky. Like, remember, with Fields, he was in that college football playoff semifinal. He got cracked in the ribs pretty hard on that first, I think it was one of the first two series. And he came back and he threw some of his best balls while he was probably the most injured he's been all season long. And that's something that I'm looking forward to, because even when adversity is going to hit him, and it will hit him in the mouth a couple times, I think he's going to be ready for it, because we've seen it time and time again with him through college.
So you guys want to see him play game one?
Yeah. Yes.
See, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I want to
top
see that.
Level rookie quarterbacks are absolutely good enough to play in the NFL for week one. We've seen it and time again in the
but
NFL.
What about
now.
The promise to Andy?
Oh, for love of God. Here's $10 million worth of promise.
Yeah, I mean, right. I'm sure he could take a broken promise if that's what has to happen.
Tyler Aki, our producer, is right. When you hear the fact of the matter is, it's no longer, you know, 3 or 4 years development, blah, blah, blah. Young quarterbacks play, and the good ones play at a high level. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be linear. There are going to be hiccups, but why not? You saw how juiced the Bears players were with just the tweets that night, and like, oh, guess a quarterback. We finally got a quarterback.
Tyler, who was that on live Instagram?
It was Eddie Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, his reaction says it all. His reaction says it all. And he's been around some top level quarterbacks, whether it was in college or even as a pro.
Maybe we can play before we get out of here, because it's funny, because he catches himself. We finally got ourselves before he indicted everybody.
Hey, it's really hard not to be excited. And we'll continue this conversation about if Justin. Yeah, you weigh in, please. 312-332-3776. Do you want to see Justin in game one? Does he need to sit back and wait for Andy to falter? What are your thoughts on that when we return here to wrap things up? And we'll also kind of wrap up the polls that we have. We have two out there on Twitter at ESPN 1000. It's Hanley and Zander on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Mm-hmm. We get all that. Come on. Uh-oh. You better say something I like to hear, Carlos. Carlos, you better say what I like to hear. Come on, Carlos. Let's go. You better say Justin Fields is a match.
My
Chicago
Bears select Justin. Oh, black quarterback.
Yeah, by time we get us a real, you know what I'm saying? Let's go, man. Let's go, man.
Come on, Carlos.
You better come on, girl.
Say something. I want to hear it, Carlos. I love that he was using his first name. I'm sure Carlos was thrilled to have Eddie Jackson calling his name, making sure that he said something he wanted to hear.
About time we got ourselves a real, oh boy, I didn't want to throw everyone under the bus, but we did. Hopefully it's the answer.
Well, isn't it obvious though, even to maybe the people that he's talking about?
Yeah.
It's obvious. I mean, we finally got that one. The question is now, you know, do you want to see Justin Fields play down number one of the season? Or, you know, does he sit for a while and the Red Rifles?
You're all about the Red Rifle.
He's firing until he runs out of ammo.
Yeah.
Let's go to Rich in Logan Square. What do you think, Rich? You're on ESPN 1000.
I understand how everybody's excited about getting Fields on the field as soon as possible. But at the same time, if you look at the three best quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think, you know, if you look at Brady, Mahomes, and Rodgers, and arguably three of the greatest of all time, all of them have one thing in common. They all.
Yep. I think we lost
what
Rich.
You think?
Oh, say that again. We lost you a bit. Everybody has they all have something
that.
In common.
Yeah, they all sat behind a quarterback for a year and just were able to digest it and kind of come along a little bit slower than possible deer in the headlights and ruin you forever.
Well, see, that's the question. Do we trust that he's able to do that? Are the Bears coaching staff going to screw that up somehow? I hate to be that one, but you know what? That's always in the back of Bears fans' minds.
Okay, well, Mahomes was sitting. Let's start with the most recent. Mahomes was sitting behind Alex Smith, who was having a career year. Correct. There was no need to get him on the field. Aaron Rodgers was sitting behind Brett Favre. Right? Hall of Famer.
It was that for 1 or 2 years behind Brett. Seemed like more than one.
Yeah. But again, Brett Favre, not Brett Favre past his prime, Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. Brett Favre being Brett Favre. So right there, those two.
I see where you're going here.
Yeah. There was no need. The Bears have a need. If the division is fully in play, and you're not just trying to get a wild card spot, you're not trying to just eke into the playoffs or back into it like you did this season. If you swung for the fences, look, everyone in that locker room is going to know who the better quarterback is when it's time to make that determination and that decision. And I hope that it's truly a competition. They always like to talk about how competition makes everyone better, Mark. The players are going to they're going to know whether Justin Fields is ready to play or not. And if he's not, then don't make that then don't put him out there just because.
Right.
But if he pushes the envelope and forces your hand here, why not?
Just if he is who he looks like he is, then you think that he should be out there the first
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, you know, I don't care if they tweeted out Andy Dalton, QB1.
Right.
Okay,
right,
yeah. Whatever. You're paying him?
He's and we thought that was ridiculous that he was told in, you know, when he had that press conference that he said he was told that he was number one. I don't think any Bear fan thought, oh, yeah, that's a solid statement. Yeah, well, how could you make that statement at that point?
At the time, it was over Nick Foles, who, you know, whatever.
Which is, maybe that's an obvious thing.
Right. I mean, because, you know, God bless Nick. He was on his rear end when he was throwing half his passes because he had no protection.
Yep.
And he famously said to Brian Griese, he could tell when the plays were coming in, they weren't going to work. So whatever the situation was, it was no big deal whether Nick Foles, Andy Dalton, they're the same guy at this point, right? They're veteran guys who should know what they're looking at when they read a defense. But they're not going to lead you to
right.
To the,
and we were hoping
line.
That Dalton would be an upgrade over Foles, but we really don't know. And now we may not need to know.
Exactly. Exactly right. Well said. I mean, so to me, throw him out there and unless he truly is not ready. I mean, something that I don't expect to happen, if he can't understand the playbook, which I don't believe will be the case, if he is just not ready, you know, I think his confidence is certainly going to tell everybody he's ready. I just look at what he's done. You know, even leaving Georgia, right, where they made the misstep and the calculation that he should be replaced, and he moved on and picked himself up the mat to Tyler Aki's point. He's faced adversity, and he's changed the course and direction of his life and came out on top yet again.
And I just think the whole notion of he has to sit, I think that's going to be a more old school style. Look at the new age of quarterbacks. Okay, they might sit like 3 or 4 games, but look at this next wave of quarterbacks that's going to dominate the NFL. Josh Allen sat like 3 or 4 games his first season. You look at Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, if he didn't have all the legal issues. Those next wave of guys, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, those guys are not sitting more than a couple of games. So Justin Fields should be, if he's ready,
he should be
out there week one.
It makes sense. We're going to wrap up the polls. We have a couple of polls. First of all, who is a better manager right now between Tony La Russa and David Ross on ESPN 1000 on Twitter? What's that? What do the results look like, Tyler, on that one?
So David Ross taking the majority of the vote here at 78% to Tony's 22.
That is a lot more lopsided than I thought it would be.
I mean, I wasn't even sure that. I mean, I thought Tony La Russa would come out on top just because. But we're talking about currently, not the body of work. But boy, I thought it'd be much more even than that.
Yeah. I in my opinion, it should be a little more even. But wow, okay. And then the other one said the other poll was who's going to get to a championship first. White Sox, Cubs, Bulls, or Bears? How's
White Sox way ahead of the pack, 61%, followed by the Bears, 26%, then the Cubs about 10%, and the Bulls below 4%.
That's kind of going with what I was thinking. But I didn't think the Bulls would be last.
No. I mean, the Eastern Conference still not, you know, hot garbage for the most part.
Right.
You're not out west, but think about that. So the Bears fans, 25% weighed in, thought, well, maybe this is all playing out. Maybe everything's falling into place, not only with what's happened here. Maybe 24 hours changed the whole lot of the NFC North because of what's going on in Green Bay.
Yeah, interesting. Well, Brian, it's been a slice. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Mark. Hopefully we'll do it soon again.
Yes, White Sox Weekly airs today on ESPN 1000, 3:30 with Jeff Mueller and Fred Huebner, leading you right up to Sox pregame. Sox will take on Kansas City at 6:10, first pitch. All right, thank you to Tyler Aki. Thank you, Brian Hanley. I'm Mark Zander. This is ESPN 1000.